Hello everybody and welcome to the Trauma and Mind Body Super Conference. And in this latest episode, I'm really happy to introduce you to our guest, Penny Kroll. She is an amazing person. She's been on an amazing personal healing journey. She is a master trainer in a number of different energy psychologies. So she's a master EFT practitioner. She's a matrix re-imprinting practitioner. We're going to talk more about that. She uses NLP, we can mention what that is too. And she's the founder of Meta Consciousness. And she's been on an amazing personal healing journey using her techniques and these psychologies. And she has healed herself from Bell's palsy. And she's also healed herself from bipolar using energy psychology. So we're privileged to have you on the summit. Thank you so much, Penny, for being part of it.
Thank you, Nikki. I'm really honored to be here. And yes, where would we like to start?
Well, I'd love to know, obviously, share your journey about how you got into energy psychology and your experience in healing these illnesses using energy psychology.
Yeah, this is quite interesting because my background is, don't click off, I used to be an estate agent, so that's real estate for those in America, one of the most unliked professions, I believe, and I had a nervous breakdown. And at that time, I'd been already in talking therapy. And please, this is not about me saying anything negative about talking therapy, but I'd been there for 10 years. And I simply was going round that hamster wheel. And when I had my nervous breakdown, the last psychiatrist I'd actually been to see had diagnosed with me with manic depressive, which now is called bipolar.
Right.
And he said, there's nothing that can be done. You just need to go on medication. And I was just distraught because I didn't really want to go on medication for the rest of my life. It felt like a jail sentence to me. And interestingly enough, I'm going to share this with you. I don't share it with many people, but I read the medication and it said, you cannot drink ever with the medication. I went, no, I'm not doing that. And I'm not a big drinker. I was then, but I'm not now. But I didn't want another thing taken away from me.
Yeah.
You know, just that odd glass of little bubbles at sunset, or I just didn't want that taken away from me. So I started looking into, I'd already been as a hobby doing crystals and Reiki and lots of lovely energy modalities. But then I really started thinking, well, I need to change my life. So, because Einstein, didn't he once say that if you didn't change anything in your life, or I'm really bad at quoting, by the way, guys, so I do apologize. If you keep on doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome, that's a sign of madness. Well, they'd already diagnosed me as being mad, Nikki. So I was going, yeah. So I became an interior designer. Struggling through this bipolar, going into, crawling into bed, getting out of bed, putting makeup on, pretending. I was great at pretending. And I had another nervous breakdown, and this time I tried to commit suicide several times, failed. And I went, that's it. Something's got to change. So I looked into neuro-linguistic programming, which really helped me with my anger issues. Timeline therapist, I became a practitioner as a timeline therapist, hypnotherapist. Neuro-linguistic programming, but I was still running that,
Yep.
And then I woke up one morning and I had Bell's palsy, and I went back to the GP and they said, nope, nothing can be done, you can go away maybe in 6 months or maybe the rest of your life, you'll have it.
Wow, yep.
So I turned up in Thailand, to really change my life. I walked away from everything. My business partner had taken all my money. I was homeless. So there was no more bottom to go to. And I went on a fasting retreat, met this mad Australian woman who introduced me to emotional freedom techniques, and my face went back to normal.
Wow.
Within 3 days. So I thought, my goodness, there's something in this.
Wow.
And then I went on various courses to learn emotional freedom technique, and they kept on saying, oh, let's not go to our trauma, let's make up a trauma. What's this? And as you can see, my face is very expressionful. And on one of the workshops, somebody said, maybe you should meet Carl Dawson. So the next weekend, I drove up. He was up in Midlands. I live in London. I drove up to be on his course. There was a bit of drama going on there. I had a blowout in my Audi, and it was just so. I got to his course, and we did EFT, which is tapping on the meridians. It's like acupuncture, but it's we don't have to use needles. And we look into the unconscious events of our life to release the tension and the trauma. However, Carl was creating matrix re-imprinting, and I was just very fortunate to be there while he was creating it.
Amazing.
And it was through matrix that really started my healing process, along with Meta, that for my these patterns of this really high to really low and depressive thoughts.
Wow.
So it was a combination, and I'd love to say yes, it was just
It's really not one thing. Yeah.
No. But that was really succinct for me to get back to these traumas of sexual abuse that I hadn't realized that were sexual, that are all part of the manic depressive roller coaster, the highs of being manic, and we all love to be a little bit manic.
Yeah. Rambunctious.
Yeah. But that's not sustainable. So, as Newton said, what goes up has to come down. But with manic depressive, when you come down, it's not just sliding down that gentle slope, it's crash, bang.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
But interestingly, itself, the suicidal thoughts don't happen, or the suicide actions don't happen when we're in the depressive state. We need that healing peak to have the energy to take action.
Yes. And when you mentioned that, you mentioned sexual trauma, was this kind of before age 18? So was it a developmental time when you experienced that?
Yeah, it was. No.
Okay.
It was in my teenage years.
So it was development. It was actually developmental trauma. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't quite consensual age.
Yes.
But I'm from Scotland, so what's consensual in Scotland at 16?
Yes.
Not in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So even now, isn't that interesting? I still hesitate before I answer that.
Wow.
Because I go around.
You were told. Yes.
I see. I'm going, well, it's consensual there, but not here. And depending where I speak, I still have to think about how to answer that question.
Very interesting. And so that is fascinating that there we have the conventional medicine is so far away from understanding, like, just all they would have done is put you on a medication for life and said, oh, nothing we can do about it, or let's just suppress your symptom. Yeah. And yet there was the cause, and you went back to the root cause. It wasn't going to be fixed with, doing gut work and functional medicine. That might have been the picture for some people. In your case, incredible to actually have cleared the Bell's palsy with EFT. But matrix re-imprinting, we should expand on exactly what that is. There are other people speaking about EFT, but people won't know about matrix re-imprinting. So this is the opportunity. So what is matrix re-imprinting and how does it work?
So we use the basics of emotional freedom technique, tapping on the acupressure points, which came from thought field therapy. It was created by Gary Craig. And Carl Dawson was one of the 28 master tappers in the world.
Interesting.
And he, this story goes that he tells us that he was in Australia with his sister, Caroline Dawson, who's a matrix re-imprinting, an ex-nurse. She now is a trainer in Australia. And he was tapping on a woman as a demonstration in a workshop, and she was not clearing. And she was using the movie technique, which is sort of like an LP, put your trauma on a screen so you become disassociated, and she wasn't clearing at all, which is the worst thing as a trainer, Nikki.
Yes.
When you're doing that, you're going, and so I might be embellishing the story a little bit. So he was starting to perspire a little bit and getting, let's move along, and She wasn't, and she just looked at him and she said, "Can I just step into the movie and just hug my child who had been traumatized?" And he was, "Do anything." So she dove into the TV and hugged this child, and he went, and immediately, poof,
wow,
she had such a form of release, broke down in tears. Now, I'm not saying that cleared anything, but everything. But that was the start of matrix reimprinting. And he realized that when we actually go back and talk to that inner child, or it could be a future, or it could be a generational or past life, or depending again where I'm speaking in the world, what people's beliefs are, it doesn't really make much difference to me. It's all energy.
Yep.
So when we go back and actually ask that moment that we have had, that Yudin moment. Now, a Yudin, what we classify as a Yudin, is the four parts of trauma. It's mm-hmm. unexpected, it's a dramatic, it's we feel isolated, we have no strategy.
Yeah.
Now, that trauma doesn't necessarily have to be the car crash, what the medical people think is a physical trauma. It's our perception of our survival. And that's so key, because when we're talking about our survival, and as adults, we talk about that young, but that was nothing, you know.
Minimize it.
Yeah, took my sweets, but that was nothing. We're looking at it now as an adult going, well, if somebody took our sweets now, it might not be that much. Or it might.
Yes.
But as a child, that is catastrophic to them, and it's unexpected, and they're dramatic, and it's isolating with no strategy. And if we think that the tiger, that bully, is going to eat us, or our parents are ignoring us, and we're not going to survive, that is a survival mode that we will go into, and that part of our consciousness splits off to in order to protect us.
Yeah,
because it's a solution at the time, or what we call, from a meta perspective, is a solution. But 30 years later, it's not helping us anymore.
Yeah.
And that three-year-old child is still telling us what to do.
Yes. I think we've all experienced, perhaps in a situation, kind of the word regression, right, where, you know, we're not reacting to the present moment. We just went back to the seven-year-old or the three-year-old who is being triggered by the current event, and it's we're coming from the past rather than a adult response, right?
And so we all know about the inner child. However, with shamanic work, we go back to the inner child. Like, can I just share a case study with me about this? So a lady, a shaman, came on she'd been doing shamanic journaling or shamanic work for 20, 30 odd years, and she came on the Matrix Reimprinting workshop, and I was doing a demonstration with her, and she said, "Well, I can see this little baby in my mind's eye, and the baby just needs to be fed." She kept on saying this, and I went, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. "Can we just stop there? Can you actually ask the baby what it wants?" And she said, she got really angry at me, and she started shouting at me, going, "The baby wants fed. She nearly starved to death. You're not listening to me. You're not looking at me. You're not," because I work with my eyes closed. And I said, "No, just simply ask the baby, that little echo, that energetic conscious hologram, which is part of our conscious, what the baby would like." And the baby didn't want food. The baby wanted to be picked up and nurtured in a different way, a skin-to-skin contact.
Yep.
Because we look at it from an adult perspective a lot of the time. But if we actually ask those little echoes, they have the answers.
Amazing.
That is the beauty of Matrix, that we come out and we actually ask them what they want and what they need, what resources they feel. We don't change the events, but we change the perception of what happened. And that lady, she broke down in tears. She'd been working with this for a couple of decades.
Wow.
And this was key.
Yes. Really incredible. So when this idea of the thing I always describe matrix reimprinting as, it's basically it's never too late to have a happy childhood, because you can go back, change the perception, and let the child, the inner child, have completion, right?
Yeah, because that's all we're doing, isn't it? When we have a trauma, we keep on doing the same thing again and again in order to resolve it. We're not setting out consciously. Can you imagine? So many people have said, my clients, they go, oh, no, I would never choose this life. And of course, you might not have chosen it, depending on your belief system and what soul sector you're in. However, when we have had those traumas, our unconscious is going to play them time and time again until we resolve it.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be an aspect that's there all the time with us, crying, screaming, whatever it's doing, until it gets listened to and released, right?
And the beliefs that come along with, so this lady that was on my workshop, she never had a great relationship at all with anybody. And right. She was 50-year-old
yes.
woman.
Attachment
because she
trauma.
Never had that bonding connection, because that little baby made a belief that it wasn't safe because nobody picked her up. So.
Yes, there we have it. See, you've just, in a nutshell, you've encapsulated, we've been trying to explain to people about what attachment trauma is. You can't really get to attachment trauma with many other techniques that are sort of more for PTSD, attachment trauma. But matrix is, and it's attachment trauma, which I believe is like it's the silent epidemic. And this is a health summit. It has, as you know, this is your area. It's not just the emotions, it's how it affects then the health. Just as a side, it's very interesting. I've noticed other modalities. We had Dr. Dan Paul Heller, who's like the world leading expert on attachment trauma, right? Or one of them, one other of them. And she talked about it, she talked about bringing in a support person. She's basically what's happening all around the world. I've even heard other people talking about, there's a book called The Completion Process. It's actually a spiritual trainer called Teal Swan, and her, it's just this different, and it's not because anybody's copying, or not to minimize Matrix or anyone else. There's a truth to this. Like, it's like the 100 monkey syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, like one monkey learns somewhere a long way, and then all the other monkeys, because there's an collective consciousness. This process works. It's important people need to know about it. And it works purely energetically. We're talking about going back in our imagination, changing the outcome for a child. But in the psyche, that is absolutely real. But the beauty is, we can heal it.
I know. And I think for me, because you can bring any modality in with Matrix.
Right.
So this is why metta is so important. And my understanding of mental illnesses were highlighted through metta. That we can actually, we've developed from Dr. Hammer, New German Medicine, and I can actually look at somebody's brain, a CT scan of their brain, and map what has actually gone on in their physical and their mental behaviors.
Amazing.
And so this is why it's like a horse and carriage for me. I can't work with one without using the other.
Yes.
But this collective consciousness, because we're all understanding, but with Matrix, we don't have to go back and actually physically endure that trauma again. We can go back and resource the young echo and be with them, so that we are actually with them. Because they're simply a part. And there's so many from NLP, there's parts technique, there's lots of different parts. The echoes are parts of us. There are aspects of us. Everybody's got a different terminology.
Yes.
But they're part of us, and simply wanting to be brought back to resolve whatever that perception was. I love, I think Pink, the musician, I think she actually, she does videos that show Matrix with her I'm Perfect video. That is that's what I play on that Matrix training, because she has actually put that, what happens to that child, goes to a nursery school, gets physically bullied, takes her teddy away. She's always then trying to do something right, but every time she tries, she gets punished. or because the teacher comes along and punishes her because she goes and slaps the boy in the video.
Right. Wow, that's really interesting. That's good. People should go and check out the video. So it's by Pink, and is it called Perfect?
I'm Perfect. Well, there's an expletive in the middle. I'm expletive Perfect. But it's a great video to see what happens. And it doesn't mean anything about that we've got bad parents or good parents. Simply a process of events that happen in our life.
Yeah.
I've got so many case studies. Can I share another one with you?
Absolutely, it's good.
I get so excited about this. So a couple of years ago, I was working with a lady, and she came to me first of all with eczema, the eczema from a meta perspective is about separation conflict, and actually there was a sexual trauma there as well. There seems to be a lot of sexual trauma. I don't mean, but.
It's a silent epidemic more than we are
aware of. And basically, we worked on this, and her eczema was starting to clear, and then she had a toothache, and she'd had root canal, about a decade, maybe 20 years before, but her toothache was getting worse and worse. And when we were in the matrix, we went back to the fact we look at themes of life, and she'd had sexual abuse from a young age from a relative, and she realized that this had been a pattern, that these men had been violating her, and she'd never bitten back.
Yeah.
And when we were just working through this, following the energy with the right questions, and she was just doing so beautifully. And she had a son, maybe it was a daughter actually. But anyway, she had a child that was going through mental health issues. And she said, well, I blame myself because when I was pregnant, there was lots of trauma going on, so it's my fault. And we went back to when she was pregnant, and she did some Reiki, as her echo did some Reiki on the little baby in the womb. And her daughter that day made a complete shift in her mental health and decided to take responsibility and move on.
Now that's the demonstration. That's an amazing demonstration of how all points in time and space are connected at quantum level. We are getting into a little bit of quantum physics here. All points are connected. And when we work on ourselves, that has an intergenerational impact. It can heal family members because we are all connected and there's cords between people at the energetic level. And this is happening constantly. Do people, like family constellation therapy, there's lots of therapies, distance healing. This is how this works. I love that. That's a great, thank you for sharing that. Let's dig in a bit more into meta, and please do share more case studies, because on this summit, I did explain in my presentation, there's multiple ways that the mind and the body are connected. So, and sometimes we get a physical illness because of a behavior that's destructive, which was caused by trauma. But there's also, in what you talk about with meta-consciousness, this is where a apparent imbalance in the matrix, in the field, can directly be causing a physical ailment. And people should know this on the summit. Like, you did EFT and the Bell's palsy went away.
Yeah.
This is what's possible when you clean up the energy field. Some people have got illnesses and it's going to take longer than, I mean, that's a quick, like, wow, you did a couple of EFT sessions. That's possible. It is possible to heal.
It's not all the time.
No. And so that's what's the point. But the fact that that is even possible, people want people to be aware that that is possible. A lot of people have got a lot more work to do. They need to heal the gut. They need to balance the neurotransmitters. It's a combination of things, building blocks. They might need to do some EFT and some tapping. They need to do some gut work and do various things. But it is actually possible. The example of your own history. Yeah. But talk a bit more maybe about just with meta, like some of the connections, and maybe even Dr. Hamer's work, which is the source of it.
So from his work, we understand that the brain and the each tissue are connected when we're evolving in the womb as that little tiny embryo. So we have four basic brain relays that are connected to each tissue as we're going along. And just to give you an example, an easy one, I think, for everybody can grasp is eczema. And so we understand that we are diurnal creatures. And where my cat, who I think is, you can see behind me, unfortunately, she tends to photobomb me when I'm doing interviews. I can hear her. So she's a nocturnal creature. So from about 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, we're in a slight sympathetic stress phase. Yep. And then from 8 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning, we are in a parasympathetic, so rest and digest state.
Yep.
Now, not all of us are doing that. So when I was running my bipolar, my mania, oh my God, good grief, Nikki, I loved it. I was working from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, then going out with my boyfriend. We'd go and have a six-course meal. Then we'd go and party until 6 o'clock in the morning. Wow. I never put on weight. I was eating. I'd go on to work and have a sausage sandwich and have cans of Coke all day because I was in that. And as I said, that is not a sustainable way to live your life. So what goes up has to come down.
Yep, circadian rhythm, totally.
Yeah. And so when we're in that stage, we're in the stress because of that Yudin moment, our skin will start to thin and numb out. Because in that stress state, we need to be numb, so not to feel, so we can fight or flight.
Wow. That's,
and we all have to be in a certain amount of stress, otherwise we'd never get out of bed.
Yes.
But the exaggerated stress makes us numbed out, perhaps disassociated, in order to cope with life. Isn't that just so intelligent for the body?
Yes, it's like the body is a symbolic expression of our inner emotional psyche. Is that essentially what Meta is suggesting?
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
So when we have an when somebody doesn't want to touch us or we have unwanted touch, it will, and that unexpected, dramatic, isolating moment with no strategy, our skin will thin and we won't notice it, perhaps, might become dry. I'll give you another little case study in a minute. We have an acceptance and then the eczema, because the skin's been thinning in the sympathetic, it needs to build back up again. So then we have the eczema, which is itchiness. We get that pruritus, and any kind of itis is we'll have in the parasympathetic. It's inflammation, it's itchiness. And people think that's the illness. But it's actually our body restoring the skin.
Wow, you're trying to counter the symbolism of what it was doing in response to the psyche.
So I had a lady years ago who came to me, and she came to me for anxiety, actually. And while we were doing the session, she said, oh, Annie, she says, awful. She was, her husband had been made redundant, so she had taken up her own old job traveling around the country, and she had two kids, and they were just lovely. And she went, but when I leave home, the kids are fine, but as soon as I step back in the door, they become really sick. I'm making them sick because they're getting eczema all over their body.
Wow.
But it wasn't the sick. The children were feeling separated from mum when she went off traveling.
Wow.
And so their skin was thinning again in order to protect them, so they'd be numb and not feel that disconnection. And as when mum walked through the door, their skin would start, the eczema would start immediately, practically.
Wow, as part of healing, because they felt connected again. That's really amazing. I'm just thinking about a couple of other examples. We do have, there seems to be a big connection between trauma that induces self-hatred, and then you'll have perhaps autoimmunity, which is the self attacking the self. It's the immune system attacking us. Autoimmunity, immune system attacking us. So I'm not saying all immunity, autoimmunity is that, but there can be an element of that. right?
So I have a slightly different spin on this.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe now that the body actually attacks itself.
Yes.
At all.
Yeah.
From Dr. Hammer's work that we have now expanded into the consciousness, with the really looking at people's emotions, because my emotion, for example, love, I love to ask people what love means to them, can be all different.
Yeah.
Very different. So for many people, it can be sex or giving, or there's lots of different things going on. However, these emotions are really critical here. And these autoimmune symptoms are layers of, and we have to look, chunk down and look at each symptom that is going on the body.
Yep.
Separately. So, you know, adrenal fatigue, and a lot of people are being classified by GPs at the moment with anxiety. And when we are looking at mental and behavioral diagnoses and symptoms, that's just more than one Yudin moment. That's two or more in their life.
Yes.
So anxiety is a classic. Something's happened in front of you and you become fearful of the future and you're so powerless you can't speak about it. So then you get...
Interesting. You,
so there's two things going on at the same time, and then you get that, and then the panic attack, and that goes on. So the bipolar is a similar one. I had more than one conflict that landed on different sides of my brain. So I was going, every time I was triggered, I went manic, then depressive. Manic, depressive.
Interesting, yeah.
And so the autoimmune, we chunk it down, fibromyalgia, ME, depending which country that you live in, depends if you're diagnosed with, on which doctor you go to even. But not, I'm finding more and more people with those diseases don't actually have it. It's, a lot of it can stem from adrenal fatigue, which is not having the purpose of our life.
Yes, yeah, so
there's
that
no
could
purpose.
Be...
There's no meaning in our life.
Or we're doing things we don't really want to do.
Exactly.
So it's avoidance strategy then.
Yeah.
We get so ill because what's the point? Yeah, we have to be careful. It's not blaming or assigning fault here to anybody. Exactly that. That this is the psyche component of what can be going on. So, and when we're working with that complex picture, often, you know, this is one piece of the puzzle, is to get to this piece of like, okay, is there that playing out in it in this picture as well?
So looking at people's themes of life and. Because we're so conditioned to be a doctor or an accountant or make money or what happens if we were simply to be?
Yeah.
That in itself can cause anxiety for people when I say that to them, because they go, but how are we going to pay the mortgage and da 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 da? Well,
exactly.
there's other ways.
Repression, sometimes just a repression of ourselves, sometimes it's culture, societal. So I saw a lot of cases where we'd have somebody who was, say they were gay, and they had not accepted it within themselves, and they'd not accepted that within themselves because it wasn't socially acceptable in their family environment either. And I saw a lot of, that's a classic conflict, right, of just not being able to express the true you. It's not being okay to be you. And then that would unfold, and it would be part of the picture of the puzzle, for example, that was contributing to a physical breakdown, you know, not being able to be out in the world. The body, you know, sort of the joie de vivre, or also the life force energy, is being obstructed.
Yeah.
And that when we do anything that distorts that, right, there's going to be symptoms.
Yeah. And that life source, because we're all connected to source, but we... have to protect ourselves, play dead.
Yes, yes. It's where the intuition comes in. I love that. Very interesting. Any other case studies or just on this, on the meta consciousness? Perhaps are there any sort of big clusters of maybe traumas or things you see that are going on psychologically that kind of match with certain types of illnesses that, or is that, or you've
well,
maybe
no,
evolved.
Lungs. Shall we speak about lungs?
Yeah.
So Lungs, from Chinese medicine, they say it's grief. And yeah. I'll go one step further and say, what is going on in your life that you've witnessed a fear of death? Or, and in the West, we are terrified of death, a lot of us.
Yeah.
So when we think that we could die, or we've seen somebody die, or we see a lot of people dying, our lungs cannot take in oxygen because of that unexpected, dramatic, isolating moment with no strategy, and our lungs will start perhaps growing tumors in order to bring in more oxygen. However, because we're domesticated and we can't release that shock, then we will just keep on, and this could be quite dangerous because we could die of lung cancer. However, if we have an acceptance, then biologically, and at the moment, many of us don't have these tiny little microbes called tuberculosis in our body anymore because of antibiotics. But if we have enough of them, once we've had that acceptance or solution, then these little microbes will start to activate and bite down on the tumors. And then the diagnosis will be TB.
Interesting. This is so interesting because what you've just done is, well, we've definitely turned conventional medicine on its head. So what we're actually saying is that an expression of physical ailments is a saving mechanism. It's the body saving us from the negative impact of the imbalances in our own psyche. So we have an imbalance, a trauma, and the body actually adapts to that in order to save the organism. So it's actually an adaptive survival strategy when we get a physical expression of illness. And of course, if we think what conventional medicine does, you know, we cut things out, burn them, you know, use laser therapy, take things out, lop them off, you know, put drugs, suppress the symptoms. Yeah. Rather than understanding, having this wisdom of what's going on, this is holistic medicine, isn't it? This is everything's connected. The leg bones connected to the hip bone, the hip bones connected, and the psyche and the body and the mind are one thing. So they should be considered. That's the upshot of what I've taken from you. That all of this needs to be considered. So it's a beautiful way to. I think it's a really interesting thing for people to go if they've got an illness now, they've got an ailment. To ask themselves how, is it even just doing that, asking how may this illness be an adaptive strategy to something that might be going on in my psyche.
Beautiful, because that's what we do, and this is how we've evolved for thousands of years. I just want to share this with you because I get so excited by this. I could just talk for years, Nikki, so do shut me up.
No.
But one of my students was telling me that she contracted malaria when she was living in Africa. And she was really seriously quite ill. And when she survived, obviously, because she's now one of my students. But when she was speaking to the doctors about malaria, and he said, well, yeah, we see a lot of tourists and white people get malaria. But it's like a common cold for us in this particular part of Africa. And he said, I've been studying this for 30 years, and it's because the spleen in that part of Africa, and I'm not going to say where because I can't remember, and their spleens have enlarged to adapt to the strains of malaria. So their spleens can take this malaria in, cleanse it, they'll get a common cold. Wow. Or the equivalent for them is like a cold for us. Because they've adapted through the years. Isn't that fantastic?
It's body intelligence. Wow. The body adapting to the physical environment, changing its physical structure to adapt and heal and survive. And that's what the body's doing in response to our thoughts. Our cells are listening to our thoughts and responding to them all the time, right? That's what we're saying.
Yeah. And so I haven't met David Attenborough, but I'd love to, because he talks nature, because meta is the underpinning of nature. So when you watch David Attenborough on a really, you know, he will talk about the fight, flight, fright. You'll see the impalas freeze and then run away. You'll see the fawning, the animals that don't eat me, and the people pleasers in our life. And then the fungus. The fungus never eats an organism that's alive. The fungus comes along and eats dead organisms. Because there is everything for a natural nature process. For our organs to either kill off cells or reproduce cells, everything is doing its purpose. It's when we get trapped, that's when the autoimmune starts kicking in and we just are cycling around from stress to restoration, stress to restoration, and it's a horrendous way to live our life. We don't need to, Nikki, you know that. You've worked with enough clients to invite them to really, truly embrace life. And that conscious living and the conscious dying, for me, is key. Because I truly believe we have a choice when we die. Because that's the only fact we have in life. We are all going to die at one point.
And taxes. two truths. Taxes and death. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. But we can choose how we live and how we die and when we die. And this is where the Matrix can come in as well, because I have been known to guide people to their best deaths. And their families have written to me and said, we found letters, and this is just amazing, because we were all around his bed at that time, and he never thought that was possible. Or it's just a truly beautiful way of working in the consciousness.
Yeah, I love that. That was beautiful. So I'm inviting the audience. This is it's obviously an unconventional way of thinking about illness and health. But I invite people to explore this. And if this resonates with you, and sort of talking to the audience here, then, you know, explore it. And if it doesn't resonate, that's, you're not ready to hear it at this level yet, that's cool too. Like, we've all got our own choices. But I think it's a really interesting conversation. I think it's going to be like a lot of people are going to think, I think there could be something in this. So how can people, do you do workshops, do you do group healings, do you do one-to-ones?
I do one-to-one. I've been quite busy of late, and for the collective, I run EFT, Matrix Brain Imprinting, and Metaconsciousness workshops. So I do a lot. I still see one-to-one clients. I keep on saying that I'm going to stop, but I love clients so much. I travel around the world. I work in Egypt a lot.
Interesting. In Egypt? Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of trauma in Egypt. Wow. And I love one day maybe I'll learn to speak Arabic. That's somewhere down the line.
And your website, share how people can actually get in touch with you as well. Yeah.
So my website is changeahead.biz.
Lovely.
Go there. My email address is penny@changeahead.biz. Contact me. You can find me on Facebook. I'm the only Penny Kroll in the whole of the world, thankfully.
And very good. Very glad to hear it. That's very good. Thank you so much, Penny. It was really awesome. I knew it was going to be great. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope everybody at home has also enjoyed it. So, Penny, thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. It's been a joy. Thank you for being so patient, because you know I can talk forever.
Oh, no, it didn't overtalk. It was perfect. It was really good. So thank you. And thanks, everybody. And we'll see you in the next episode. Take care for now.